When I was growing up, we were not permitted to use bad language or to call each other bad names. I have four little brothers, and they could be plenty annoying. And I will tell you, there are a few bad names that would have been appropriate at just about any given moment. What do you think those names might have been? Now, don't say them out loud, it's church. But just for a second, imagine the bad things we might and do call each other. Well, the big bad name my mom did not allow us to call each other or anyone was stupid. Anybody else? Not allowed to say stupid. It seems pretty mild now. Almost silly, doesn't it, worrying about just saying stupid? In this era of eviscerating each other on social media and on the news and in the streets and in Congress and spray painting insults on sacred spaces, this is the current low that we're in. But I stand with my mother. It's not mild to call someone stupid. I am a baby boomer. I may be dating myself, but I did not allow my children to use any bad language either when they were little. They couldn't call each other stupid because it's violent to name call. It gives permission to harm. Even absent a physical blow, the words cut and they have repercussions. Now, I do live in the real world here with you. Stupid is not the ugliest word out there, is it? So why am I harping on that? Well, in today's gospel, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you'll be liable to the hell of fire." Now that's pretty steep punishment for calling somebody a name, don't you think? In our nation where name calling has become a top-down national pastime, Jesus' words here are shocking. On purpose. Hear it this way. You have heard it said, "You shall not murder." But I say to you, doing violence with your words is the same intent. It is wrong. Now, I'm not worried that I'm going to hell because I might have called one of my brothers stupid once or twice when my mother wasn't in earshot. But I am worried and contrite that I sometimes did and sometimes still can get riled up and do violence with my words. And what of the rest of this gospel? You shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Again, shocking language and shocking images from Jesus. But he makes his point. When we objectify and demean each other, we do violence to each other. And that is not how we live the law of love. It's not how we live in the light of Christ. It's not how we choose life. And then, these verses on divorce. The cultural explanation on this comes up in sermons year after year, and importantly, because it has so much more to do with the law of love, with protecting women who were so very vulnerable in the uber-patriarchal society that Jesus lived in, protecting women from being summarily cast aside on the whim of a piece of paper from a husband and becoming an outcast. And what did we do with that? Well, for years, church cast divorced people aside and away from the Lord's table. Now that's doing violence to the word. That's what's shocking. Absolutely, Jesus is intentional with his words here, but not about giving us tougher new laws. He came to bring us life. John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. An abundant life isn't about having laws that are impossible to keep. The reading from Sirach this morning says, if you choose, you can keep the commandments, and to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. And before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. In the Hebrew scriptures, the message again and again is that when you live into your relationship with God, and loving your neighbor, you have life. And if you reject your relationship with God, you have death. We tend to hear that literally with the exile and captivity. We hear it sometimes as historic hyperbole. But we actually know better by our own experience. We know that it's the truth. When we're out of sync with God and out of sync with the law of love, we're miserable within ourselves. I know I have felt that, and I imagine that you have too. When we're out of sync with God's law of love, we become the broken society we see starkly around us at this time. And when we're out of sync with God's law of love, we destroy God's creation for our own greed and our own convenience. But Jesus stands here, emphatically telling us to choose life. It's not just an abstraction. And the way we choose life is choosing how we live. That's why Jesus expands the saying of, you have heard, to what Jesus says to you. Go deeper, go fuller, go more intentionally. That is where life in the Spirit is. So when our law is not about nitpicking, it becomes about how we live every day, how we take every breath. It's about walking in his way, because that's the only way to choose life. Today's gospel passage from Matthew is actually part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' great teaching that we know so well. In the verses just preceding, Jesus has called blessed the merciful, the peacemakers, the meek, the pure in heart, the hungry. And he has charged his disciples to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to choose life. And then we hear today's words. You've heard it said not to murder, but Jesus says to you, don't do violence to one another, even with your words. That's what choosing life is about. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but Jesus says to you, don't hurt each other by objectifying and demeaning each other. That's what choosing life is about. And you've heard it said that men in those days could simply write a certificate of divorce and then feel fine to go on their merry way and leave a woman destitute. But Jesus says to you, that's not how you choose life. It's not how you live into the way of love. Choosing life is not something you can parse out. You have to go all in. No, murder is wrong, but it's okay to call your little brother stupid. Violence and harm are wrong. Choosing life, living into relationship of love with God and with my neighbor, requires much deeper living from me and from you. The great Jewish thinker and writer, Etty Hillesum, who was murdered at Auschwitz, wrote in her diary, all disaster stems from us. Why is there a war? Perhaps because now and then I might be inclined to snap at my neighbor. Because I and my neighbor and everyone else do not have enough love. Yet we could fight war with all its excrescences by releasing each day the love that is shackled inside us and giving it a chance to live. And I believe that I will never be able to hate any human being for his so-called wickedness, that I shall only hate the evil that is within me. though hate is perhaps putting it too strongly even then. In any case, we cannot be lax enough in what we demand of others and strict enough in what we demand of ourselves. When I read the book of Eddie's diaries and letters about 10 years ago, I was overwhelmed with her immense capacity for love and her deep hunger and openness to her relationship with God in the midst of the most brutal and dehumanizing circumstances. She chose life every day in the midst of death being thrust upon her. She chose it by the way she lived and the way she held on to love. Because it is a choice. Make no mistake. We stand at the brink. Generation after generation has stood at the brink, right? We are not the first. And the name calling and the just following orders that sent people to concentration camps won the day long enough for 6 million Jews to be murdered. Just as name calling and convoluted legalism in our time is condoning sending people into sanctuary and for-profit detention centers. And it's preventing those of us who disagree with each other from being able to talk to each other and to do something better. Jesus stands before us in this difficult passage, saying, choose God's way of love, choose life, because our choices are not just for ourselves, but they impact our planet Earth home itself, the shape of the society we live in, the people that are sitting right around you. You can't parse that out into legalisms. You have to live into love wholeheartedly, full spirit. None of us is perfect at that. But Jesus isn't calling us into a checklist of morality, but to a flourishing of life. So we can keep choosing it again and again, because what we choose is what we are given. Eddie wrote from the Holocaust, "We could fight war by releasing each day the love that is shackled inside us and giving it a chance to live." Let's choose that.